Yes, welcome. Today is the 5th of August 2014, and we are in Martinus Center Klint, and that is the second of the two international weeks. And a good friend of mine asked me to talk about this book, The Third Testament, Intellectualized Christianism, because this is the last book that Martinus wrote, and it was not published in his own lifetime. Martinus died in 1981, 90 years old. But then, I guess, 23 years later, we published the book. It was not totally finished, but we published it as it was left. So in 2004, we had the explanation. Why did Martinus call his collected works for the Third Testament? He has talked about it in tape lectures, but now he has written about it. And in the first place, he would write a book with the title The Third Testament. Martinus started to write in 1928. He started to work on Livesbog, and in 1932, Livesbog, the first of his book, was published. And then it was something very interesting. Around 1971, Martinus was publishing his symbol books. And then he got a very strong inspiration, a very strong impulse. He had to write a book with the title The Third Testament. And he said, now the time has come where the whole world shall hear about what we are doing here in Scandinavia. Because what we are working with are actually the Third Testament. It is the continuation of the Bible. So, I mean, that was quite big words, wasn't it? And it was so strong, this inspiration. And then he put the symbol books aside. He had almost finished the fourth symbol book. And he planned to write The Eternal World Picture Volume 5 and Volume 6. And he said when he had finished that book, he would go back to the simple explanations. But he did never come back to the simple explanations. But that's no problem, because he have explained the symbols in lectures that were taped. So we can publish the books with symbols. In 2012, only 2 years ago, we published the fifth volume of The Eternal World Picture. And there was 33 symbols. And next year, I guess in January and February next year, we'll publish The Eternal World Picture Volume 6 with the last 23 symbols, number 78-100. It was quite interesting. On a board meeting, Martinus said, yes, I've written 100 symbols. And for many years ago, he was interviewed by a journalist in Iceland, in Reykjavik. Yeah, I've drawn 100 symbols. And then he shows up exactly. There will be 100 symbols. And so he worked with this, but when he was 80 years old, from 80 years to 90 years, he worked every day, but he did not have so much power to work, so he did not write so many pages, and he did not really finish the book. But he was very eager to publish this title, The Third Testament. And the first plan was in 1971 to write one book of presentation and kind of introductory book, why he wanted to call his book for the Third Testament. But then, 4 years later, in 1975, he decided that his collected works should have the title, The Third Testament, everything. And then, for example, Livesbog should be called The Third Testament, Livesbog. And then Logic should be The Third Testament, Logic. Then the book, The Third Testament, should be The Third Testament, The Third Testament. But he had given it an undertitle, and it was The Intellectualized Christianity. And what is intellectualized Christianity? Well, Martinus said that his mission was to explain the eternal truth in a logical and a scientific way. Martinus talks about the eternal truth. And the eternal truth has incarnated many times on this planet Earth, because there have been Buddha and Jesus and Lao Tse, Confucius, so maybe there have been Lemuria and Atlantis, I don't know what. But of course, there have been prophets and older brothers in the evolution, and they have sort of represented an incarnation of the eternal truth. So Jesus, according to Martinus, always spoke the truth, and he had a special incarnation. Jesus, he only had his shoes and his mantle, and he was put in the desert. How can you start a new world religion with such remedies? But Jesus, he could make miracles, and because of that, people believed in him. He was a big authority because he could make miracles. So many people believed in him because he could make miracles. That made Jesus spoke the truth, but he did not argue for the truth. And people 2,000 years ago, they did not understand so much. So he had to explain it in parables, in stories, almost fairy tales you tell to children. They could not understand, but he presented the truth, but not in an intellectualized form, not in an argued form. It was just the simple truth as it is. There was a Swedish, one of my friends, Mikael, he made a dissertation or some degree at an English university, and he had chosen the theme esoteric teachings in the Western world. And he had elected four. He took Jelena Blavatsky with the theosophy, and Alice Bailey, and Rudolf Steiner, and Martinus. And he made some scientific research. And he had three parameters that he would explore. And he took maybe 100 pages from each author. And then he took and looked how big percentage of this book are arguments and logical thinking. And Alice Bailey, that was 0%. That does not mean she didn't write the truth, but it was just not argued. There are much in theosophy. They are channeling some stuff from the spiritual world. And of course, they can channel the truth, but it was not argued. There was no argumentation there. And Steiner and Blavatsky, they were 9% of the text were analyses and arguments. As far as I remember, 43% of Martinus' text was analysis, and it was argued. So I'm just trying to tell you can present the truth in an unintellectual way. You just simply talk the truth. Because Martinus, he was incarnated on this planet Earth, where now science is dominating. We are living on a technical planet. We are very scientific and technical. He says in Egypt, in India, in Tibet, there have been some ways to initiation. There were big masters, bodhisattvas, gurus, and so on. They had pupils, and they could guide the pupil through a certain technique to the initiation. And there have been many, maybe also with the pyramids in Egypt, there was the pyramid always was a temple of initiation. So when you have a master, the pupil can learn to go the road to initiation, to this big revelation, to have cosmic consciousness and so on. But Martinus think that now there is not only a few ones who are going to be initiated. It is millions, it's billions. All people on this planet Earth shall have this initiation. There's not enough gurus. And then the eternal truth should be presented in another way. It should be presented in a logical way, in a scientific way. So Martinus is a very humble man, and he says, I cannot express it better than Jesus did, what he said in the Sermon on the Mount, what he said in our Lord's Prayer and so on. So he said, it cannot be possibly be expressed in any better way. But Jesus didn't argue why it is true, why it is so. And that was Martinus' mission, sort of. And Martinus, maybe I should also talk about that now it looks as if it was a big surprise that Martinus, at the end of his life, introduced the title, The Third Testament. But from the very beginning, he, as a child, he was very attached to Jesus Christ. And he said that he had a personal relationship to God. He had a kind of universal religiosity. He couldn't remember that there had been a day where he didn't pray to God. But then when he was 13 years old or 14 years, they had to go to the priest and have some teaching. And then he heard that that if children were born outside marriage, they would go to hell. And if they died before the baptism, they would go to hell. And this little boy said, can't be true, because he was sure that there was a loving God. He couldn't understand. So he felt that the church Christianity, that was not anything for him, because they had this God that took revenge. And at that time, 100 years ago, here in Denmark, they talked quite a lot about hell. And he said, God cannot be like that. So, and later on, Martino said he would like to do something good for the world. And sometimes he was considering becoming a missionary, but he said, no, I can't, because I don't believe in the church Christianism. But he sort of had the opinion that Jesus was always behaving in the right way. So in a way, it looked to Martinus as if Jesus were higher developed than God, because Jesus, he could forgive anything, but God, he put people to hell, he took revenge. So in that way, but when Martinus was 30 years old, he was working in an office. He was writing, he said, 10,000 numbers each day, and he felt there must be something else than going to work, write 10,000 numbers, go home and eat, go to cinema and sleep, and go back to work and write 10,000 pages. And then there was a colleague at the office who were interested in modern spiritual teachings. And his name, that was the friend, but he came into contact with a friend's friend called Lars Nibelwang. And Martinus was very interested in these new modern spiritual movements. And then he borrowed one book, and he met this man, Lars Nibelwang, and he studied theosophy, anthroposophy, and the mystics of the East and Egypt. He knew everything almost, and he talked to Martinus, and he recommended Martinus to go home and make a meditation on God. And according to the story, there was also in one of the books something was written about you can sit down in a meditation chair, you can tend a blindfold for your eyes, you can concentrate on God. And when Martinus did that, he had a very big vision, and it was a Christ vision. And he talks about the baptism, the white baptism of fire, the white baptism of fire. When he had sat for a short moment, he saw a light in the distance, and this light came nearer and nearer and nearer. And then he saw it was a sculpture of Christ. There is a Danish sculptor called Bertel Thorvaldsen, who has made a world-famous sculpture of Jesus. And it is in Thorvaldsen's museum in Copenhagen, and in the cathedral of Copenhagen, there is the marble. And it has been copied in 12 copies, I guess, and in the Baltic countries, and also in Salt Lake City, in the Mormon temple somewhere. There is also, it is not the crucified, but it is the mild and receiving Christ, come to me. And it's very beautiful. If you have the chance, when you go back from Klint through Copenhagen, you should take the chance to go into the Cathedral of Copenhagen, because Martinus loved that sculpture very much, come to me. And this sculpture came closer and closer, and then it became alive, and it went into Martinus' own body. And then he saw a light from this Christ figure, or from himself. He saw this conus of light. And then he saw planet Earth turning around in that light. And then he felt that this vision had something to do with the whole world, and that it had something to do with Christ. And he had, during this initiation or revelation, a strong feeling that his mission was to work on the completion of Christianity, to conduct the Christianity to perfection. So that was sort of his mission. So he also said that the Christ mission was divided in two steps. Sometimes if you should put a rocket out in space, you have a three-step rocket or two-step rocket. And in a way, you could also say that the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Third Testament is sort of the same rocket, but it was in different steps. Martinus think that just like in school, you have the first grade, second grade, or third grade or elementary school, high school, university, there is a plan. And from spiritual side, there is also a plan for the evolution of the human beings. And Moses, he was the most important person in the Old Testament. And he lived some 1,500 years before Christ. And now Jesus, he has, the Christianity have been preached for 2,000 years. And Martinus think that the most people of this planet Earth, they will have acquired cosmic consciousness in 3,000 years. So we can see there is a plan of almost 1,500 plus 2,000 plus 3,000. That is almost 7,000 years. So from a spiritual point of view, there has been a plan. And, you know, there are teachers who teach in elementary school. They have to adapt the teaching to the pupils. What can they understand? And for that reason, Martinus think he's doing the same work. It's the same mission. But now the pupils, sort of, has become very developed because now, I guess, 200, maybe 300 years, all people on Earth has gone to school, and now we are living on a scientific, technical planet. So people have been a kind of explosion of the energy of intelligence on this planet Earth. And now in school, children has to explain things in a logical way. Why is it so in chemistry and in math? Why is it so and why is it so? And they have to give logical answers. But when you go to church, then you get the answer. It is so. Why? Because it's written in the Bible or in other religion. Why is it so? Because it's written in the Quran. It's written in the Holy Scripture. It is like that. But why? It's the truth because it's written in that book. Mm-hmm. But that's not science. So Martinus also noticed that when people develop their intelligence, more and more they find the religions naive in a way. But Martinus don't think that Jesus or Christianity was naive, but it was not argued. There was no analysis. So he had to create these analyses. So from the very beginning, Martinus felt that he should work on fulfillment of Christianity, conduct the Christianity to its perfection. And Martinus called his main work Lebensborn. It's not meant so that you should believe in Martinus' writings. Martinus wanted people people should have their own understanding of the world. They should have their own understanding. They should learn to think independently. And in the religion, you are told what to believe. But Martinus really want his readers to be very critical and very skeptic, because he thinks my work is so logical that you can resist even the hardest skepticism. And Martinus said, for example, 2 + 2 = 4. It's like that all over the universe. And you don't have to make a sect. Come and become a member of our sect. In our sect, we have the opinion that 2 + 2 = 4. Come and become a member. But that's universal. And in the same way, Martinus didn't want any membership, no religion, because he said, what I'm writing, that is just simply the truth, like 2 + 2 = 4. And how can I be sure that Martinus has written the truth? Martinus said, I can only prove it by the reality. Reality, the reality on planet Earth is what shows that Martinus is writing the truth. So for that, in that sense, Martinus is not a religion. And normally in religion, you have beautiful altars. There are lights, there are paintings, there are sculptures, there are music, there are mosaics, there are processions and wonderful clothes. And there's a lot of things in church that have a big impact on your feelings. But of course, Martinus is working with a concept of God. Martinus talks about a cosmic religiosity. He thinks that the whole universe is one single living being, and that is the same as God. But the Jews in Islam and Christianity, they separate God and God's creation. That's two different things. But according to me, Martinus, everything that exists is God, and God is everything. There's no separation, which means that all single individual living beings, they are cells in God's body. So your relationship to other living beings are also your relationship to God. And Martinus says, can you imagine is there a thing that you cannot be scientifically examined? Of course, you can scientifically examine everything. So Martinus has also made a science out of religion, or made a science out of God, because, and they say that you cannot explore God's ways. God's, it was the will of the Lord, and you don't know why it was so. But Martinus is actually trying to tell in his book what God is thinking of and what God's plans are. And in short, God's plans are to develop all beings in the physical world, from minerals to plants to animals to terrestrial man to real human being. There is a big divine plan behind everything. But now to return to this white baptism of fire. It was a very strong revelation, and Martinus had really got this impression that his mission was very much connected to Jesus Christ, and it was connected to the whole world, because he saw this planet Earth turning around in this light of Christ. And you can read about it in this small book, number 4, about the birth of my mission, it's called. And then the day after, Martinus had another big revelation. He called it the golden baptism of fire. And that was a kind of experience of God, an experience of God's consciousness. And it started, he felt that the physical world disappeared, his body disappeared, and he was in the spiritual world, and all the spiritual energies disappeared, and at the end he was in a golden aura, or a golden ocean, or golden glory, and he had a strong feeling that the consciousness of all single individual living beings are melting together into this golden aura, and this golden aura is sort of God's consciousness. And he has written about it in the 6th volume of Liebesbuch, which unfortunately not yet is translated into English. And that could be a good argument for you to learn Danish. It's faster to learn Danish than wait for the translation. And if you're English speaking, you would be able to learn to read Danish in 2 years. But in this 6th volume, he is writing about the mystery of the golden threads. It's very, in this golden aura, this golden glory, it's the very, very highest you can experience with any spiritual senses. It's the very, very, very highest. And he's talking about in this ocean of gold, in this golden aura, there are some golden threads, and they are vibrating at one end, but in a strange, continuously way, they are going into to the stillness. It's becoming silent. And he says, these threads disappears behind the horizon of sensing. They are still existing there, but there is something that is outside the senses. And it was the very highest thing that you could experience. And I should talk about this book, The Third Testament, The Intellectualized Christianity. And in paragraph 3 and 6 and 11, he is writing about this golden ocean, and it meant a lot to him. And when he was 19 years old, he gave a speech at his birthday, and this has been translated into English. And 2 days ago, it was put into the internet at martinus.dk. You can read this. But when he was talking about it, he was talking a little bit about his life, and he became so moved or so touched when he talked about this golden baptism of fire, so he sort of started to cry a little bit in the middle of the lecture, because I'm sure that was the highest experience he had in his whole life. But these two things were not so important, because he said what was most important, that was that he had been born into a new world. He had got new senses, and these were intuitive senses, and they were permanent. Permanently, he could see and experience in the spiritual world. We can see a car and a bike and a person walking in the street, but Martinus said it was the same easy to him to see the spiritual reality behind the physical world. And he could see there are natural laws, there are cosmic principles, there are eternal cosmic principles. He could. And then This made it possible for him to create a new spiritual science. Normally, science is based on the physical senses. To physical science or the natural science, if you cannot measure or weigh or see a thing, this thing doesn't exist. In order to accept that a thing is existing, you should be able to measure or weigh. You have a microscope, a telescope, and if not, it doesn't exist. And it's good with science. In science, you have a hypothesis, you have an idea, and then you go out in the world and test and control. It should be verified. Your ideas and hypotheses should be verified. It should be confirmed by reality. And other persons should also be able to reproduce your experiments so they can be verified by others. And when it is possible to verify it by others, then it is science. Then it is the truth. But Martinus says that he worked in a way in the same way, because Martinus is not a philosopher. It's not his ideas, his thinking. He said that he had observed the laws of life. He could observe the law of reincarnation. He could observe that love is the keynote of the universe, that we have eternal life, and all these natural laws he could. So in a way, Martinus is scientific because all his writing is based on senses, but on a spiritual sense, on this intuitive sense. And as far as I know, there's no other people here on this planet for the moment being who has a permanent cosmic consciousness. Sometimes Martinus was asked, are there others who have cosmic consciousness on this planet? Well, Martinus said, I don't know, but I would be very pleased to meet them if there are some. So there was no competition, but he would just be happy. And so for that reason, it's difficult to control to Martinus. But Martinus, he said, he experienced the truth by intuition. And maybe it's very strange, but when he experienced the truth, it did not appear in colors. It did not appear in words. It did not appear in any form. But sometimes Martinus spontaneous had a vision with colors. Once, for example, he visited Egypt and saw the pyramids. Spontaneously, he had a vision of the pyramid in his younger days. It was very beautiful with white ceramic material and a golden top, and there were palms and temples. It was very beautiful. But then he added at the same time that it was his clairvoyant vision because there was colors. But there is also, if I might mention, for example, Blavatsky. She channeled the Tibetan and got some knowledge, but Martinus has not been channeling anything. He did not get anything from people on the spiritual plane. He had the highest sense himself. He could, and he said that I'm a living proof for the fact that you can come to the highest knowledge, the highest possible knowledge through yourself. And I'm not something special. All who are in front of me in the evolution have already experienced it, and all those who are after me will eventually experience it. All of us will also someday get cosmic consciousness. We will also at some point become initiated and experience the eternal truth through our own senses. So in that way, Martinus is working in a scientific way. But then he says that he has written cosmic analysis. And what is a cosmic analysis? Through cosmic analysis, Martinus make his intuitive results accessible for normal intelligence. Here on planet Earth, there are a lot of people who have a normal intelligence. And then Martinus should present these results in a logical way. And Martinus says, you have many experiences from the physical world. You have a kind of logical thinking. And then Martinus says, you know so and so and so. Yes. And you know so and so. Yes. And you know this and this. Okay. Then it must be so and so. And then it must be so and so and so and so. And for that reason, the result is like this. So a cosmic analysis, he goes to our experiences and our logic. And then he can make this conclusion. And Martinus is talking about two kinds of cosmic consciousness. He himself had cosmic consciousness. And it was by a personal experience. He had personally experienced cosmic science, cosmic consciousness. But he says, if we study his books and understand his arguments, if we understand his analysis, then we can get a theoretical cosmic consciousness. And Martinus says that is what goes before we really get the cosmic consciousness. We will have a theoretical understanding of this cosmical consciousness. I would like to come back to this book, The Intellectualized Christianity, but also Martinus talks about Christianity. It is a world religion. But he also says, in the beginning, Christianity was a religion. And then he had an expression. He said, but when eternity enters Christianity, it becomes a science. It becomes the science of the world. And what does that mean? Martinus has created an eternal world picture and shows that the whole universe is an eternal living being. He shows that every single living being is an eternal living being. We have two parts. We have a created part and we have an eternal part. And when we have this eternal part, it makes a lot of sense, because then if you have been poor in one life, you become rich in another life. If you have a bad health in one life, you can get a good health in next life. And so life can be very just if you have a lot. So with his expression, when eternity enters Christianity, which means when you put the eternal analysis into Christianity, it becomes a kind of science. And in this book, there is a lot of quotations. It's the book with the most quotations from the Bible. And then Martinus shows in a logical way that Jesus was talking the truth. But then Martinus, when he introduces the eternity in Christianity, you introduce, in a way, the principle of reincarnation. You introduce the law of karma. And then there's a lot of sayings of Jesus that make a lot of sense. And then Martinus is interpreting the most important quotation from the Bible from this point of view. And then Martinus argues that Jesus were telling the truth. Well, Martinus, he had a cosmic consciousness. He could create the eternal world picture. He could create a spiritual science without mentioning Christ, without making any quote. It is not in that way that Martinus' works is based on the Bible, but he could not write it. His universal symbols and his cosmic consciousness, he could write about it. But he felt it was something sort of coming across that he had to justify this divine person. And of course, there are also other religions on this planet Earth. But Martinus said it was the most clear or the most practical example of neighborly love. Because Jesus, he was tortured to death through 9 hours. But even in that situation, he was praying for those who killed him. And that is unconditional forgiveness. That is unconditional love. It is not a question of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. For the moment being, there is a lot of war in Gaza. And that is really the Old Testament, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. There is nothing about forgiveness. It is paying back with the same coin. If they attack us, we will attack them. And that is not what is going to save the world. Martinus said, what is going to save the world, that is the attitude of Jesus. And Martinus think that the most important thing in the mission of Jesus, that was to show an example. Jesus is a model. He shows the perfect human being. Jesus was a perfect human being, and he showed how a perfect human being is behaving. But some people think, yes, God could forgive us. We are sinners. God might forgive us. But if we sacrificed the most developed person, the most holy person, Jesus, then he could forgive us. But if he could forgive us after the death of Jesus, he might also have forgiven us before. It makes no logic. In a way, it's a kind of old paganism where you sacrificed, you killed animals and human beings and gave them to God. So there is also a lot of paganism in church Christianity, that Jesus was sacrificed for our sake. Then he could take all our sins on his shoulders. But according to Martinus, it is with the law of karma. We have to take the consequences of our own acts. For example, if we are making a mistake, and could you imagine it had only pleasant consequences, then you would never stop to make mistakes. But fortunately, the life is constructed in such a way that if you make a mistake, it has unpleasant consequences. You become ill, you get problems, and that way you can stop to behave in that way. So that there is also Buddhism and old Hinduism. There's a lot of other religions, but Martino thought the clearest example of neighborly love and unconditional love, unconditional, was practiced by Jesus. And also Christianity has been very dominating in the technical countries. The Christian countries are the biggest warriors of this planet. So Jesus, he was 100% pacifist. He said, turn the other cheek. Martino thinks, if others turn the animal side to you, you should turn the humane side. So after 2,000 years, the Christian countries are the biggest killers. They have the best weapons. They have the best missiles. And that just means that you cannot become Christian by will. It is a long, long period where you have to train your... When you have suffered, you can have compassion with others. When you have felt problems, you can feel with others. And then you become humane and you become a loving person. But that takes many, many lives to become such a loving person. And Martinus also in this book write about... the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, because according to the Bible, it was very dramatic. It tells that there was an earthquake and the curtain in the temple was torn apart and the moon turned red like blood and the dead stand up from the graves and so on. But Martinus said, for the planet Earth as a living being, it was a kind of cosmic glimpse. Martinus says, before you get a permanent cosmic consciousness, you get some strong inspirations, and after that you get cosmic glimpses. When a few seconds, you can have an experience. Love is dominating the whole universe. What I see as something evil is love in disguise. Or you can feel, I am an eternal being, I cannot die. And if you have heard about all these near-death experiences, there is a lot of... research on that area, and they are very similar to cosmic glimpses. And you know, I'm eternal, I cannot die, there is a loving God and these kind. You can have that in a cosmic glimpse. So in a way, planet Earth had cosmic glimpse when Jesus was crucified, but he said it was not the dead who stood up from the graves, but it was cosmic conscious beings from the spiritual plane who were attending this biggest God service on planet Earth. And he said, up until that time, it was logic to take revenge. An eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. You could not imagine any other way to behave. But he was loving to his enemies. He could forgive his enemies. That was totally new. And he said, from that point, it was no longer logical to take revenge. And Martinus had written Liebes Bo, and then he wanted two symbols to be put on the book. That is also a part of the story, that Martinus wanted to introduce the title, the Third Testament, in this book. And as something new, he wanted symbol number 23 and symbol number 19 put on the cover. And he always insisted, these two symbols are together. Once I sat in a bus, and you see this death skull, I was reading in the book, and then I could see people were looking at me because I had such a strange death skull on the back side of the book. And many people said to my Jesus, no, not a symbol with death skull, only this one on the front page where there is a Christ-like being. But Martinus insisted, no, the two symbols, they belong together, they should be there. Both of them. And that is the way that the living beings are acting in animal kingdom. That's the law of jungle. And that is also cataclysm, Armageddon, the doomsday. When you, an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, there will be wars and wars on planet Earth until there is a new world-saving principle. And that was so clear, demonstrated by Jesus with the crucifixion, that that is the world-saving thought climate, to forgive your enemies. And Martinus, he has talked a lot about the second coming of Christ. And he has interpreted it in three different ways. And it is in the Gospel of St. John. There is chapter 12, I think, and chapter 16. I'm not so good at the English Bible, but Jesus talked to the disciples that he will be back. And he says that he will send the spokesman or the consolator or the and also the Holy Spirit, which Martinus says, in a way, he predicted that the second coming of Christ would not be as a physical person, but it would be the Holy Spirit. And then Martinus said, but spirit, that is the same as spiritual science. So in one interpretation, Martinus thinks that his collected works, Martinus' spiritual science, that is the Holy Spirit. So that the second coming of Christ is the intellectualized Christianity. So, and Martinus said, before people followed, they followed Buddha, they followed Jesus, they followed Muhammad, they followed the authorities. They were believing in authorities. But now on this scientific, intellectual planet, we have to learn to think independently. We have to understand life ourselves. And for that reason, the eternal truth has to incarnate in a scientific and logical way. And it has incarnated in a logical and scientific way in Martinus' writings. And when he started out, after his first initiation and so on, he knew from the beginning, from the very beginning, he knew that his spiritual science would be the second coming of Christ in form of the Holy Spirit. But he didn't call it. But then at the end, you know, Martinus says that a thing has come to perfection when the cycle has been closed. You have the cycle of a day, of a year, of a life. You have the cycle of a spiral cycle. And sort of he started out sort of with his Christ initiation, and he was convinced that he should conduct the Christianity to its perfection. And then at the end, when he had written his whole work, he turned back to that point and called his work for the Third Testament. But he also has another interpretation of the second coming of Christ, and I think more people like that interpretation, and that is that we have developed from the animal kingdom. And just like Jesus, he was also born in the stable beside the animals. And then Martinus says it could be a symbol that Jesus was born in the stable, just as human beings, they were born in animal kingdom. And then the child, the Christ child, is growing and growing. And what happens in the monkeys, the apes, primitive man, the animal man, ape man, primitive man in nature and so on, that is that the humane side is growing. You could also say that the Christ side is growing, or you could also symbolically say that the Christ child is growing inside you. So in a way, we all have a Christ child, or you could also say a Buddha side, as you have a humane side that is growing inside yourself, and that someday this child will grow out and become a grown-up. And when you are, when the Christ child in you are sort of grown-up, you will get cosmic consciousness. And that is the same as melt together with God's consciousness. And you will become a God-like person, but you will also become a Christ-like person. So in a way, when you get cosmic consciousness, you all turn into a Christ being. That is also a wonderful prediction of the Bible quotation. So you could say the second coming of Christ, that is when you get the Holy Spirit, the intuition, and get cosmic consciousness. And then there was also a third interpretation that he has not written, it has not been recorded, But I have written a book called Martinus and the New World Morality. It has been translated into Russian. I see the Russian version and Swedish. And it has not been published yet, but it is translated into English, Esperanto, and Spanish, and will hopefully full. And I'm writing a lot about the story and about this book. And then here is the third interpretation from the Bible, the third interpretation of the second coming of Christ. Here is a picture. It's a photo of Martinus' room where he was working. And with, if you magnify it very much, you can see this symbol on the front page is here on the wall. And with two paper clips, Martinus has added a quotation from the Bible. And the text from the Bible is where Christ, the man of sun, is appearing on the clouds in with power and glory. And it would go like blitz from the east into the west. And that means if you look on the symbol number 23, the perfect human being on the front page of the Third Testament, actually, there are also these gray clouds over the world. And now we can also feel there is so much terror, war, and conflicts on planet Earth. So you could really say there are gray clouds over this planet Earth. But the Christ principle with unconditional love, unconditional forgiveness will spread all these dark clouds. But that means, in a way, Martinus says, with these two paper clips, thus, this book or his work is the fulfillment of a biblical prophecy. There is another example. In Old Testament, there is a lot of prophecy about Messiah, the Christ. The Christ should come. And in the Old Testament, it's written that Messiah would go to Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And before Easter, when Jesus and his disciples came up to Jerusalem, he was not riding on a donkey. So according to the Bible, he asked some of his disciples to go and get a donkey so he could ride on the donkey into Jerusalem in order to fulfill the biblical prophecy. And if you can understand the parallel, I would say that Martinus, with his two paper clips, adding the biblical prophecy to his symbol, actually Martinus showed that this is also a third fulfillment of a biblical prophecy. So I plan to say a lot about this book, but I've talked a lot about the book. And in this book, there is a preface. And in this preface, Martinus writes about himself personally. And I have also talked about the white baptism of fire and the golden baptism of fire. It's described here how he has... There are two or three paragraphs where he writes about himself personally. It's the same like in the Book of Life, it's only cosmic analysis. But also in the preface, he is writing about... I think it's... paragraph 19 to 22, he's writing about himself personally. But then he talks about a prologue and a preface. But in the prologue, I think there is world historic words about the Third Testament. Because, I mean, Martinus, he said, oh, there will be a lot of attack and fuss. When my book is published under the Third Testament, the people in the church will be angry and people will think that I'm insulting God and that it is a very bad thing that he was... because in a way, Martinus says, my spiritual science is the Holy Spirit. And the second coming of Christ is the Third Testament. So these are But in a strange way, this book was not published before he died. He said, I think it could almost lead to a crucifixion of me. If I publish the book, you imagine, the man is still living. I've written the Third Testament. And he goes out on a big public publishing house. And he thought that there might be a lot of fuss, but he didn't finish the book. And 1 year before he died, he decided, no, I want to publish Liebert's book once again on a big public publishing house. But now, with a new title, the Third Testament, and with the two symbols on the cover, which means that the title, the Third Testament, was published without any explanation. And it was published in 1981. And then for 23 years, they used the name the Third Testament, the Third Testament, the Third Testament. And Martinus was one of the first to use the expression the Third Testament. But if you go to Google today and Google on the Third Testament, Das Dritte Testament, Le Troisième Testament, La Tria Testament, or there's a lot of Third Testament. So I get also other persons who have got some kind of inspiration from Martinus. And what I say is, during 23 years, people had got used to the title. So there was no civil war because of this. And then 23 years later, the explanation came and people had got used to the title. So there was no angry people. But there are some who thinks that the Pope might be angry, maybe once in the future, if there's a lot of people who are interested. But Martinus said that could be a good advertisement. If people are criticizing it, people will become aware about it. But you know, it's relatively unknown in the world. I would estimate that some 20,000 people in Scandinavia is interested in Martinus spiritual science, and maybe 500 only on the rest of the whole planet. So it's very unknown outside the world. But if somebody sort of would be so kind to attack the Third Testament and write nasty things about it, it had the chance to become known without paying for the advertisement, then it would go. But Martinus, he was quite convinced that there are spiritual forces behind this, and he also said that there is a certain growth rate in nature, and also the whole humanity is growing at a certain rate, so you cannot push it. There is a natural growth rate, but there is also a providence who conducted this at a certain speed. And Martinus said that his teaching, in a way, was not given free, not yet. That means that there are actually spiritual powers that are looking to that it is not spread, that it's not coming out. And to me, it's also incredible. Martinus has now written 10,000 pages. He published his first book 80 years ago, a huge work. And it is still unknown in Denmark, and almost totally unknown. I calculated that in Germany, two people out of a million is interested, and in the United States, one person out of 10 million are interested. And it's really, really few who are interested. But Martinus said that what is so extraordinary with his work, that is that he has defended the darkness. He has sort of defended the evil, because Martinus gave an explanation. Why is there something that looks as if it's evil? Why is there unpleasant things? Why does it exist? And Martinus says, it is the way of becoming a human being. There is a teacher in life, and we are taught in life. And when we make some mistakes, we get the consequences of these mistakes back as karma. Then we are learning that we shouldn't make mistakes. So, and also we would never know that we were happy if we have not been unhappy. So Martinus explains why there is a suffering. And Martinus, materialists nowadays think life is an absurd theater. Hazardous mutation is governing. Everything takes place by chance. There is no goal of evolution. There is no sense in life. Life is meaningless. And it's a very depressing world picture. And also for that reason, many people are making suicide. They get nervous breakdown because it's not healthy for the soul to feel that the life is meaningless. So Martinus shows in all connections that there is a meaning behind the suffering. And the meaning is that we shall develop, that we should improve. And when we have suffered, we get more feeling, we get more compassion. So the meaning of suffering is to change us from animals to real human beings. And that, in one of Martinus' interpretations, will be the second coming of Christ. Thank you for your interest.